I think it was October. We had a ministry appreciation dinner, and that is when we just honor all those who serve in any capacity throughout the year. And we go to Adams Pine Creek, and we have a wonderful meal together, and we have gifts that we give away with a raffle, with those little tickets. Everybody gets tickets, and the Lord decides who wins them. And people walk away with gift cards to go out and have a nice night on the town. And so this past past dinner, we honored specific ones, and but there were a couple that weren't able to be there. Two people weren't able to be there, and so I've been waiting till they were here together so I could honor them. And so I would like our sister Penny and Rebecca to come up on stage. Yeah, you didn't know this. Come on, let's hear it for them as they come on up. Now, when I was saying couple, you were probably thinking like couple, like married couple, but no, they're not married. They are very dear friends, but they are a couple because they both serve within the same ministry capacity for our children. And so a Penny for many, many years has been in leadership over the branch ministry, which is our children's ministry that goes on during our service time from 10:30 to noon. And our children have been being blessed down there for many, many years because of you, Penny, and we appreciate your leadership. And if you are able to serve in leadership or any leadership capacity, you know that when anything goes wrong or schedules go haywire or someone has to back out last minute, guess who it falls on? It falls on you. And so thank you for that, both of you. And so Rebecca serves our children as well. On Thursday nights, it started out as Faith Weaver Friends, and now it's just Friends of Thursday Night Kids, and whatever we call it. But on Thursday nights, we've been able to minister to mostly kids that are not part of our church, but are a part of our community. And so Henry and Kathleen are able to bring them in with a van, usually with two van loads, and so we'll have anywhere from sometimes on a low night, 12 kids to sometimes for the Christmas party, we had like 30. And that is a different, very challenging ministry on Thursday nights. And Rebecca has been serving in that capacity for quite some time. And so I just wanted to thank you both for your heart for our kids and the kids of our community, and for your sacrifices for them and loving on us as well. And so we just wanted to present you. The size does not determine the gift. It's just a different envelope. And so thank you very much. We love you, and thank you very much. Thank you. Yep. Did you either of you want to say anything? Look at that, Rebecca. Just can't let her say something. Black Wireless.
I just wanted to thank each and every one of you for your support with the children's ministry, no matter if it was Sunday school, it was church camp, it was Faith Weaver Friends, it was Sunday morning, it was breakfast, it was lunch, it was fundraisers, it was, hey, can you sponsor a child for camp? I just have to say, we have a very benevolent church family, and I just want to thank each one of you personally, whether you have are little, like, I just have to share one thing is Elena moved up into youth group, and I'm sorry I'm calling you out, but she was my little, like, she was my little. And I've had lots of littles coming up, but she was really my little because when her little patent leather shoes and her leotards underneath the table, and she was just turning five, and I was like, oh my gosh, What are we going to do? And I let her be and walk in who she was. And she came up here after camp, and she gave a testimony about camp. And I said, this is why we do what we do. Because the testimony of those who walk in our little fireflies, that be encouraged, that I just have to say, Emily and Austin and even our teens sitting here, they're like fireflies. Girls over there, Vanessa, Rachel, my lioness. I see these faces here, and they've all come through the ministry, and they're like fireflies. The fire of the living God is upon them, and we have taught them and raised them to fly. Not to mourn their loss or what they're going or where they're going. We praise the Lord because we grew them up in a time as this. A time as this, that they will prophesy and they will go and they will speak the word of God. Amen. So please, when we saw these kids up here on the stage this past week and they're not here right now, praise the Lord. Because we know as a church family, we have done them well. Amen. So again, thank you so much for just putting in, just loving on us as leadership and all the teachers, that there are countless hours and prayers for our children and the children to come. We have triplets coming up. Yeah. Yahoo. And Micah. Delaney. Tegan.
Amen. Yep. Amen. Thank you.
All right. All right. This morning, I originally had a message that I entitled The Advocate and the Accuser. And I'll save that for another time. Let me say this real Pentecostal. The Lord switched it on me. Following the Spirit. And I know sometimes we as Pentecostal and charismatic people think, oh, good, now we're going to get the word of the Lord. It's always the word of the Lord. It's not that he switched it. I either wasn't listening or my bad or it just, whatever. The word of the Lord will never return void, but there is a word in season. And so I just really felt led to share about our upcoming week of prayer and fasting and what the Bible has to say about that, what God teaches us about that. And so we're going to look at a portion of Scripture. This is the only portion of Scripture we have. And then the video guy will be free to do whatever he needs to do. But this is in Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. And it starts out with the disciples of John. And they're coming to Jesus and they're saying, why do the Pharisees pray, fast oft? Oft. That's a word that means often in English. And so why do your Pharisees pray, fast often, but your disciples, they don't fast? And Jesus said to them, can the sons of the bride chamber mourn? Bride chamber, can the wedding ceremony, can the bridegroom, can the ladies and the guys who are in the wedding mourn while the wedding's going on? No, it's a time of celebration. That's what Jesus is talking about with a bridal chamber and a bridegroom. He says, can they mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away. He's talking about himself, want to be taken away. And then they will fast. Everybody say, they will fast. They will fast. Verse 17. And no man puts a piece of old cloth, undressed cloth, a new cloth on an old garment. For that which would fill it up and take it from the garment and make it worse. In other words, he's saying, if you have a piece of garment that has never been washed and never been worn, never been through the cycles, it is going to be different than the cloth that has already been through that, and they will expand and contrast at a different rate. And then he uses another example in verse 17. He says, neither do men put new wine, he's saying the same thing, but in a different analogy. He's saying, nobody puts new wine in an old wineskin, because the skins will burst. Again, there's going to be an expanding and a contracting, and they're going to be going at different rates. And so that's not a good thing. And then both the skins perish. They won't be good for anything. But you put new wine into new or fresh wineskins, and both are preserved. Father, we thank you for your word. How could we know you? How could we understand your ways? How could we know truth if you didn't give it to us as a gift in your word? So many times, Lord, in man's mind and a man's understanding and a man's ways and in our agenda, we force our mindsets and our worldview and filters upon you. But Lord, you give us your word and you give us your heart and you give us your agenda and you give us your will and your word. And so thank you today that as we listen to your word, you will by your spirit give us understanding. Open our eyes. Speak to us corporately and speak to us individually is our desire. In Jesus' name, if you want that, say amen. Amen. All right, so today is what? January 5th. Happy New Year again. And so prayer and fasting. Notice again that it says in verse 15 that Jesus said, first point is that they will fast. They might not be fasting now, but they will fast. And so fasting isn't predominantly a discipline that is done a lot over the body of Christ. It's getting more and more, whatever you want to call it, known about. It is getting more and more momentum. I can remember when I first got saved and came into this church, fasting was always a discipline that was mentioned and encouraged. And so I thank God for that, because fasting has been an important part of my walk with the Lord. And I know it has with many of you as well. But this is one of the spiritual disciplines. This is one of the things that God presents to us as another opportunity to work with him. And he encourages us, just like he encourages us to pray. Is it good to pray? All right, it's good to pray. That's one of the spiritual disciplines. Is it good to read your word? Is it good to study your word? Amen. Is it good to be obedient to the Lord? Yeah, these are all spiritual disciplines. Is it good to give? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so as we walk with the Lord, Brother Ed, as we walk with the Lord, we grow in these disciplines and we learn how to walk in the kingdom. And so there's giving, denying yourself, taking up your cross, presenting your body as a living sacrifice. You grow in all these areas in humility and such. And so these are all disciplines. Fasting is just another discipline that God has given us in the church to grow and to understand his kingdom. And so he says they're not going to fast while I'm with them, but when the bridegroom's taken away, they will fast. And so God calls us to fasting, whether we like that or not, whether we understand it or not, whether we think that's not our thing or not. If you will listen to the voice of the Spirit, he calls you to a fast. Now, obviously, he doesn't call you to a fast just on the first week of January. Obviously, just because the pastor and the leadership say, you know, this is what we'll do for the first part of the year, because it's just a first fruit. That's why we do it in the first part of the year. If you give God your first fruits in your finances, he blesses the whole. In other words, it's like you saying in terms of your resources, you're saying, I know that everything I have is a gift from you. That's what first fruits is. I know everything I have is a gift from you. Every last cent, every resource I have is a gift from you. My first fruit is just an acknowledgement of that. It's not me paying my dues, right? Every month I have to pay my dues for my ordination. Every month, that's a due. It's due, and it's my dues. It's not a due. Your tithing is not your dues. Your tithing is saying to God and to the world, every good and perfect gift comes from God. I'm just a steward. I'm not an owner. And so fasting, the first part of the year, is that's what we're doing. We're saying we recognize that we are stewards of time. We are stewards in the kingdom. We are co-laborers with God. And so we're giving this first part of the year in fasting to get ourselves in position to honor him in the whole. And so obviously God does not just call you to times of fasting in the beginning of a year. There was a season, I would say, let me see, how long ago was it? It was probably 2014, maybe 2015. I've never had a season before like this, and I've never had a season like this after. But I just sensed the Lord calling me to fasting individually, by myself. It wasn't a church thing. It wasn't a, hey, Jackie, let's fast. It wasn't a me getting together with friends and saying, hey, let's fast. I just sensed God calling me to fast. And so it was a variety of times. I didn't know when I was going to sense that invitation to that intimacy, but it would be different times and different lengths. And so I remember the first one, I just sensed it was to be 3 days. I can't remember if it started on a Monday. You know how we like to start things on a Monday, right? Tomorrow's your diet day, right? How many are starting diets tomorrow? Don't raise your hand. Okay, we'll see you on Tuesday at the buffet. No, it's fasting week. Yeah, the new sign that's going to go up that Diane for the front, the new sign that Diane has for the front, it's going to be going up. You'll see it next week, weather permitting. It says, may your sorrows last as long as your New Year's resolutions. Is that right? Something like that. Anyway, it was about 3 days, the fast. And then you sense, and you're done. And then it was, I think, maybe one day the following week, and I sensed God wanted me to, I went into another fast, and it was just for a day. And then the following week, it might have been 2 days. And then the next 2 weeks after that, it might have been 5 days. And they weren't always the same kind of fast. Some of them were only water. And some of them were Daniel fasts. Some of them were just eat one meal a day. Okay, but anyway, the point is this, that Jesus said they will fast. And so fasting is a discipline for the body of Christ. And so the next things that I'm going to list are just really spiritual benefits of prayer and fasting, including fasting with prayer. There are many biological, physiological, mental benefits to fasting. You can go online and you can look at people who are really into nutrition and working out and keeping their bodies fit, not spiritual end of it, just biological end of it. That they're really into what's called intermittent fasting and putting their body into what's called ketosis. And so has incredible physical, biological, mental, all those benefits, hormonal. But I'm just going to talk about the spiritual, okay? First one, and we get this from the scripture we just read, is that with fasting there comes a newness. I'm leaving that wide open, general, newness, because the example that Jesus gave is what? He said when they asked, why don't your disciples fast? And he said, well, it's because I'm with them, but their time will come when I won't be with them and they will fast. And then he gives an illustration. And the illustration is something like, so let's say I get a tear in my jeans, and these are my favorite jeans because I got them at Walmart and they were like $9, and I just don't want to throw them away because that's just so expensive for a pair of jeans. I know how much some of you pay for jeans. That's just... God bless you. But let's say I get a hold of my jeans, right? And these are jeans that I've worn for a real long time. You know those jeans that are just so comfortable? Like, they just fit so nice, right? And you know them because, right, do your jeans do this too, or this is my jeans? When you put them on, they're a little snug, but just wear them for a little bit and they loosen up, right? And you got your you got your jeans that you wear around just to walk around, but you also got your jeans that you go out to eat because, you know, they stretch a little more, right? But anyway, they're comfortable, so I really want to keep them. But anyway, so they've been washed many, many times, many, many times. But if I get a hole there, I'm going to have to put a patch on there. And Jesus uses the expression, a new patch. Didn't he? New. Newness. Same example with the wine and the wineskin. He said, you don't put new wine in an old wineskin. So here's this newness again. New patch, new wine. So with fasting, there is going to be something new. What that is up to the Lord and up to you. But there's going to be something new. There's going to be a newness. Scripture says, if any man is in Christ, he's a what? A new creation. It's not old things have passed away and all things are new. It's old things have passed away and all things are becoming new. Can you testify to that? Right? You're constantly taking on the image of God. You're going from faith to faith, glory to glory. And so something new is going to come through your fasting discipline. I don't know what that is, but Jesus said it will be new, a new piece of garment, a new wine. Psalm 1 says this, and it doesn't, please don't think that you're going to, when I say newness, that boom, it's going to happen right in your fast. I think that's a mistake we make. You know, I remember doing that when I was younger in the Lord, and you know, hey, I fasted, nothing happened. Well, boo-hoo, little Bobby. You have to learn that you're partnering with God, and God's timing is not our timing. Can I hear amen? Yeah. Speaking of that, exciting news. I don't want to say too much about it because there'll be a missions moment about it. But remember we were partnering with Emmanuel to get him a new truck. We've been waiting for the Lord, waiting for that to come about, looking different avenues, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it's finally happened, and it's the Lord's timing. And so there'll be more on that. But the Lord's timing is so important. So please know that newness is going to come. But Psalm 1 says this, starts out and it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. That's every day, day and night. For he is like a tree planted by the waters, now listen, who will bring forth his fruit in season. A tree bears fruit in season. A tree doesn't bear fruit all year long. There is a timing. There's a timing for a tree to bring forth fruit. Those of us who are so blessed to live in the Northeast know we have four seasons. Welcome to our Florida guests. We have four seasons as they do, but our seasons are a little more drastic, right? And we're presently in winter, and you're not going outside to pick tomatoes. You're not going outside to get your corn. Where's the corn guy? On Jefferson and 18, I want some corn. Where's that corn guy? Doesn't he know I want corn? You know, and so it's not in season. And so we have to get it from other parts of the world that are in that season. Know that when you fast, newness is coming, but don't think it's going to be in your timing or in your understanding or expectation. Sometimes, I would say rarely it happens, but something's being birthed. But, and it's newness, but we don't know when it's coming. All right, so number one is newness. Number two, spiritual aspect or benefit of fasting, is you are tuning in. Tuning in. Your spirit, your inner man, his senses are becoming more fine-tuned. Let me try to explain it this way. So, this happens when I'm listening to a radio station and I head out 844. And so as I listen to my radio station, I get closer and closer to God's country, West, almost heaven. West Virginia. I start to lose the station, right? And you start to, you're able to hear it, but you're also getting, or you start to get a different station as a different broadcast. And so there's this kind of, you're listening and you're fighting. Or how about if you're in one location and you're listening to something and it's a constant, you're listening to that static, but you're just able to make out a voice. You're just able to make out the show you're listening to. Well, when you fast, it's similar to that with your spirit. Your spirit is always able to commune and have intuition and intimacy with God. God says, those who worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. And your spirit is always ready, but it might be not in tune, and there might be all this static. And the static is your outer man. Your inner man is ready, but the static is the outer man, the mind, right? And your mind is constantly running. Your mind is constantly thinking about what you have to do next, or what you didn't do, or what did I miss on my phone? Let me check my phone. Let me see what I missed on Facebook. Let me see, did anyone give me likes on Instagram? What happened in the news? Oh, I'm getting a phone call. Constant static. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or whatever, but when I'm in a room and there's a lot of people around me talking and I am right in front of somebody, I am having the hardest time now concentrating on the person in front of me because of the static all around me. Is that an old thing? Is it? Welcome to the club. Yeah, and so a lot of times I'll do this, and someone's talking, and I notice it. It's like dogs do it, right? They do like this. Well, I do this, and what I'm doing is I'm turning my head to the apparatus God has given me to be able to hear them speak. Now, I have extremely, the Burke family has very, at least me and Cody, have very small ears, and so maybe that's part of it too. But anyway. So in the same way, if you could think of it like your spirit, when you fast, what you're doing is you're turning your inner man's ear to God to get out the static. And so it's a tuning in. And your spirit man is able to just, and when I say hear, please understand, I'm not saying a voice. God can speak to you with an audible voice. I'm saying your spirit has receptacles and sensors through which you are able to commune with God. And so whether it's through his word or through worship or through conversation with someone, a teaching, you're tuned in more and you can hear it better. You can hear it better when you're fasting. Okay. The opposite is also true for the third one. So if you're tuning in when you're fasting, you're also tuning out. You're also tuning out. Because your mind, you'll notice that after you break through the wall, your mind rests. You have a rest. You have a peace. Your body actually starts to almost go into like a little hibernation, because our bodies crave. I know my body craves delicacies. My body, when I said that, I'm thinking about the jerky that's in my refrigerator right now. Homemade from Frank Julian Jr. Oh, I like do everything I can to self-control not to eat it all in one sitting. And I've done so good. It'll be gone today, but I've done so good. But my body just craves delicacies. When I think of that, I think of, for me, it's a White House cheesesteak. Oh, right. And so anyway, so when you fast, You're going to have to get through the wall. Do you know what I mean when I say the wall? Runners, when they run, they know what it means to get through the wall. For some people, it's 3 miles. For some people, it's 5 miles. For some people, it's 13. For some, it's 18. Brian, you know about the wall. You're a runner. He has the 13.1 sticker on his car. 26.2. What's half of 26.2, Brian? 13.1, a half a marathon. Some people have 26.2, some people have 13. But anyway, at some point in a marathon, people usually hit a wall. And that wall is a place where you say to yourself, I can't do this anymore. My body is incapable of taking another step. I can't do it. Well, if you even begin to try and fast, you're going to experience the wall. Right? And the wall is the place where your body starts crying out for delicacies. And so if you can make it through that, you're going to experience the tune out. Because just like the runner, when they press through that wall, it's like all of a sudden they get a second wind. Is that right, Brian? Brian said it's right. And so Brian said it's right. It's right. We have any other runners in here that have experienced that? Allison, is it true? I don't want to manipulate you. You just tell the truth. Mile nine. What was it for you, B? 10. Sorry, Allison. Talk to Brian, see how he does it. He gets the extra mile. But if you can get through the wall, it's like all of a sudden you have like this burst of energy and you're there. Fasting is the same way. There are cycles in fasting. If you're just beginning to start the discipline of fasting, that cycle may be an hour. I'm not kidding. It may be an hour. If you've fasted and you've been in the discipline for a while, it may be 12 hours. It may be a day. It may be 2 days. Whenever that hits and you press through, your body then begins to get a second wind and you begin to tune out the things of your flesh, your outer man, the mind, the emotion, even the will. You're able to say yes to God's yes and no to God's no much easier. And so there's a tuning out. But your flesh is, come on, you don't know how much your flesh has authority over you till you try to fast. You really don't. I've used this acronym many times. Tammy knows it. We talked about it the other day. It starts with an H and ends with a T. What is it? Halt. Halt. H-A-L-T. H is for, you are more susceptible to temptation when you have halt. Okay. H is hunger. A is anger. L is lonely and T is tired. All right. So halt is hungry. You're more susceptible to temptation when you're hungry. Isn't it interesting that the very first temptation and the very first sin was about something that you eat? Okay. Does anybody else have temptations with eating and hunger? Yeah. So what's going to happen is what the wall for fasting is irritability. People don't want to be around you because you're just going to flesh out on them. Right? You start to get that skin crawly feeling. Your stomach's going to feel like you are like an Ethiopian child. Like you're going to have this horrible pit feeling in your stomach, like you're starving. And my goodness, you should feel that way. You haven't eaten for 3 hours. it's the wall, right? And then you start to think, well, how long am I supposed to do that? I know I said I was going to do it for a whole day, but you know, God understands. Yes, he understands. It's not what it's about. It's about can you press through? Can you suffer? One of the ways that I've learned that helps me is I think about my suffering compared to the cross. And I think about Jesus, who didn't just lay down he didn't just lay down his life physically when he died, but it says he was in heaven. And he gave up his godhood. And he took on the form of a man. When Jesus gave up, he gave up being God to become a man. And then not only did he become a man, but he became a servant. He went from creator to creation, and he willingly took on the role of a servant and even died as a servant, even the worst death. And so my little hunger pains me nothing compared to the greatness of my God who gave up everything for me. And that helps. Here's another thing that helps, at least me. I'm sure you have other things. I say, Father, in that moment when I hit the wall, I say, Father, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. And if you could help me, hunger and thirst, turn this desire and this agonizing temptation for food into a hunger and thirsting for the things after you. And I don't know what happens, but he does it. And so you tune out. You tune out once you break through that wall. It'll feel like death, right? So when a baby's crying, it's just one or two or three things, right, Lalila? Right? Lily. I call Lily Lalila. I like it better. Not that I have the right to change your name. But anyway, so when a baby's crying, what is it? They're either hungry, wet, or tired, or maybe cold, or hot, right? But when a baby's hungry, what do? They cry. They cry. And even though you're an adult, when you get hungry, you've learned it is not a socially acceptable to cry. But you still communicate it in different ways. And so press through that wall and you'll see there's a tuning out. There's a tuning out. Oh my goodness, 9 minutes till 12. Where did the time go? Okay, next one. So we have, it's one of the spiritual disciplines. It's newness coming. It's a tuning in. It's a tuning out. The next one is, it's a humbling of yourself. God says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Humble. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. There's a humbling that you're doing when you're giving yourself to this discipline. It's a laying down of the normal, right? Fasting is not normal. Your normal activity is you wake up, you have breakfast, you have lunch, you have dinner. Some of us skip maybe a meal. Hey, even manna came twice a day, right? That's the norm, but it's not normal. It's a humbling. It's actually a removal of something that is normal in your life for the purpose of humbling yourself before God. I'm going to move on quickly from that one. The next one is, we have, it's a discipline, it's a newness, it's a tuning in, it's a tuning out, it's a humbling. It's also a seeking. It's not just a removal and humbling, it's also a seeking. Again, remember, a new patch. New wine. It's a seeking the things of God. I don't want to caution you from having an agenda in fasting because there are times for that. But again, I caution you in that you might not have the same timetable of what God wants to do or even a knowledge of what God wants to do in the seeking. Right? And so I realize it's just me, but I have kind of almost a blank slate when I'm fasting, because I want to co-labor with God. God's agenda, not just for me or for my family or for our church or for our city or for our nation or the world, is not going to be about what holds high on my priority list. But his priority list trumps mine. And so it's a seeking. And so if my people who call by my name will humble themselves and pray, and what? Seek my face. Not seek my hand, seek my face, seek my what my agenda is, to get to know me And so there's a seeking that happens in that. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. And so last week's message was about seeking to understand. If you were here, we talked about how, the difference between knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And so understanding is when you're getting direct revelation from God. It bypasses the mind. The mind has to understand it. The mind has to discern it, but it's a spiritual thing. And so understanding is flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven. And so in fasting, you're going to begin to understand things that God wants you to understand. And so I desire intimacy with you, God, more than the crying out of my body. And so it's a spiritual discipline. It's a newness, a tuning in, a tuning out, a humbling, a seeking. And then the last one, I had the hardest time trying to come up with a name for this. I actually put in my notes, I'll tell you what it is, and then you come up with a name. But then I came up with one that kind of catches what I was trying to convey, and it's partnering. Partnering is this last one. When you're fasting, you're partnering with God. What do we mean by that? Well, there's a few things. Okay, when you came to God, what you said was, you're God and I'm not. When you came to Jesus, you said, I'll follow you, not you follow me. Okay? The double portion, if those of you are familiar with scripture, talk about a double portion, and you're praying for a double portion for yourself, and you're praying for a double portion for your church family, or a double portion. The double portion was the right of the firstborn. It was the inheritance that the firstborn son got that was twice the amount of the other children because their responsibility was to carry on the work of the father. And so partnership is this, I am co-laboring with God. I have the privilege of sitting in on the council meeting and listening to Father's agenda and joining him in the community. Do you know God wants to do something in our community? The increase of his government and the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. And guess what? That happens in communities. God's desire, he's an agenda for the nation. He really has plans. He has strategies. He has timing. He has seasons for things that he wants to accomplish in the world. God really does have things he does. He really plans. He doesn't just wake up. Well, of course he doesn't wake up. I'm talking like we do. He doesn't start a day. He doesn't even have days. It's not whatever he starts with. It's not like he just goes, what are we going to do today, Jesus? Let's just sit around, listen to everybody worship us. That'll be a good day. Some of you do that. I just like when people worship me. I like when it's all about me. Right? The Lamb of God that was slain from before the foundation, there was a plan. In the fullness of time, there's a plan. So God has a desire for our city, and we get to partner with him in that plan. Please don't let this go like this. It isn't about you individually. It isn't even just about us corporately. It's about the community God put us in. And it's about the world that God put us in. Jesus went on a missions trip. He left his culture in heaven and came to our culture, humankind, because he had a plan. And so God has a plan. And it's not just, please understand, it's all encompassing. It's organic. It doesn't just deal, please don't just think like this. It's people, let's get them saved. Let's get them saved. Let's get them saved. Let's get them saved. No, God has a desire for government. God wants righteous government. God wants righteous education. God wants righteous entertainment. On and on and on. And the kingdom of God, God wants to his kingdom to increase to every facet of society. You know, I say it all the time. There's not one square inch of real estate on this earth that God is not sovereign over. Well, every capacity of every sphere, of every job, of every our doctors, our lawyers, our carpenters, our whatever, God wants his kingdom to be expressed in every one of those avenues. And we get to play a part in that. It's partnership. And so when we fast, we partner with God. So examples. So Jesus is 30 years old. It's time for him to publicly start out his ministry. And what happens? First thing is he gets baptized. And what does the Spirit of God lead him to do? Go into the desert and the wilderness to fast. So he's going to start his ministry. Before he starts his public ministry, he goes into the wilderness to fast so he can partner with God. Moses goes up on Mount Sinai and he's going to receive the written word of God. He's up there fasting so he can partner with God. One of the one I'm most intrigued by is in Daniel chapter 10. And this is the one when Daniel is fasting and he's trying to get a revelation from God. And so he starts to fast and he doesn't get any answer from God. And he fasts for 21 days. And he's partnering with God. And then at 21 days, all of a sudden, an angel shows up and says, Gabriel, I've been sent to you from the throne room of God. And I was sent to you the first day you set your heart to seek God, but the prince of Persia withstood me. What? You mean the king of Persia went up and saw Gabriel flying through the air and grabbed one of his wings and just hung on to it for 21 days and wouldn't let it go? Is that what Gabriel meant? No. He meant that there was a spirit, the spiritual prince of Persia, the invisible spiritual prince of Persia, who had authority over that territory, somehow withstood the angel from getting to Daniel for 21 days, and then the angel adds more information for us to learn. He says, but God then sent one of our chief princes, Michael, to do battle, and then I was able to come to you and give you the message. And so that he gives him the message, and then he says, now Daniel, I have to go, and now I have to fight and do battle with the prince of Greece. So we call that spiritual warfare. Right? Do you think there is a, and this might be a wrong word, prince, but do you think there's a hierarchy of spiritual leadership over our city? Yeah. Do you know that Billy Graham, every time he flew over, who's now with the Lord, if he was saved? Billy Graham, when he used to fly over into Pittsburgh, he used to say that this is one of the darkest spiritual holes that he would be in geographically. He could just sense it. Right? Well, we're the Keystone State. Right? So the enemy set up some fortifications there. Anyway, so just like the kingdom of God has hierarchy and a sense of order, and there's these, Paul even gives us a picture into them in different epistles where he says powers and principalities and rulers and spiritual wickedness in high places, these different levels. There are those who are assigned for the strategy of darkness over our families and over probably our churches and over our cities. And Daniel fasted for 21 days. And then finally, for whatever reason, it took 21 days, because of his partnership with God and his desire for his kingdom, God was able, not that God was able, that's the wrong word. God's able to do anything. God allowed that to happen to teach us a lesson that our fasting matters. And that our fasting also helps us partner with God so that he can bring his kingdom to our cities, to our churches, to our nation. And that is a reality. And so God's desire is to bring justice, freedom from addiction. We have a little heroin problem going on. Just a little one. It is robbing the generation of their destiny. Hear me. It is robbing, not just one generation, it is robbing generations of their destiny. And this isn't an easy fix. Tell us, Pastor Rob, how would you fix it? I don't have a clue. I remember when I went to a community meeting and they passed out Narcan to all of us so that if we came across somebody who OD'd, we could administer Narcan to them. They just gave it to everybody who was there. But I know this, that these kind only come out by prayer and fasting. What an opportunity to get to partner with God to bring down this addiction devil and bring freedom to our area through fasting. Bringing justice to our courts, compassion to the widow and the orphan and the weak. How about sex and child trafficking? This evil. Can God build a hedge? Amen. He's waiting. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and praise God, heal our land. Now that applies to the people of Israel, but that is a principle that God gives us for our land. You live in Washington for a reason. You live in Washington for a reason. You live in the county for a reason. You live where you live for a reason so that you can partner with God to bring his kingdom. And what a privilege it is to be a part of bringing his kingdom to people's lives. What would you give if it was your child? I can't even imagine the horror of a family waking up one morning and saying, where's little Betsy? What happened to our child? Someone took them. You see these videos online of how quick it can happen, where somebody's just driving by in a van and the mother is standing there looking in a window and the child's literally a foot away. And then all of a sudden a van comes by and they get yanked into that van. What? How do you process that? How do we untangle these webs of evil? One way is fasting. One way is fasting. So you get to partner. So it's a spiritual discipline. There's a newness, it's a tuning in, it's a tuning out, it's a humbling, it's a seeking, it's a partnering. And I just encourage you, whether it's, let this also, if you're going to do it this week, let it be the start of God walking with you to let it be a discipline that won't end after this week, but that will grow in this, and there'll be a discipline of God's people. And it's, I'm sure it's not, obviously not just our church family, right? There's so many different church families that are doing this, and I know that God is moving on his people to seek him this way. Let's stand together. So, Father, as we just bow our hearts, we want to thank you that nothing is impossible with you. As we think about some of the darker, very dark parts and circumstances of our community, Lord, we also recognize the darkness of our own hearts. But this we rejoice in, is that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So as we, as a church family, along with many other church families and individuals, start into this week of prayer and fasting, Father, we ask that we would have an attitude of a stance that, Father, we are seeking you, your agenda, not our own. And that, Father, we thank you for what you will be accomplishing through your people's denial of themselves, their humbling of themselves, their seeking your face, their turning from their wicked ways. We rejoice in your kingdom coming to our land and your will being done. And so teach us, Father. Let your understanding come to your people as we seek you in this coming week. Teach us your ways. Transform us with a newness that will glorify you. We just rejoice in what we will hear and what we will see that will bring you honor. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week in the Lord.